Jesus is contagious, and so excited to just rejoice with them in what God is doing and how he is moving in the nation of Cambodia for his glory. I think one of the things that I love about being a part of a church that plants other churches and that takes the gospel into places where it is not, where they're sharing the name of Jesus with people that have never heard, is it just makes me feel like I'm in the New Testament. Like we're reading these different letters. We've been in a study on this letter of Ephesians, and it's all about the writing to churches that are newly formed. They're penetrating into new cultures where the gospel is being shared for the first time, and some of the other letters are to specific leaders and teaching them how to train people up to actually walk with Jesus. And so it's a beautiful picture that John even shared with us and the lives that they're living of us getting to be a part of reaching the nations, reaching cultures, making the name of Jesus known. And so what we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians is specifically the gospel message. Literally, the book of Ephesians, this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, is kind of broken into two parts. The first part is all about the impact and effect that the gospel is meant to have on our lives. And so, largely, the last 4 weeks have been about the gospel and the power of the gospel. And Paul's intent in this letter is that this first part of the book, of the letter, would hit us in the chest. Like we would be so deeply impacted by the gospel as that which is truly good news. That we would understand as people that are fallen, that are sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've never come up against an argument against that. Even from somebody personally that's like, no, I'm pretty just righteous on my own. I've got it together. Like, people resonate with that. Like, yes, I we're all in that same boat of rebellion or greed or lust or selfish desire, those kinds of things. And so it puts us all in the same boat. And the bad news is that the Bible describes the wages or the penalty, the consequences of that sin is death. Specifically, death that's separated from God. And the problem with that is that we were created by God to have relationship with him. It's the way that we were designed. It's where we find wholeness and a feeling of like a completeness is when we walk in relationship with God. So when that was broken, that was a problem. But thankfully, God so loved you and I. He so loved us that he wanted to solve that problem. The way that he solved that problem was through Jesus. Through Jesus coming to this earth and actually being the first and only one that did not sin, that was without rebellion and selfish ambition. He actually lived in perfect harmony with God to glorify God. And that's why when he gave himself up to die on the cross, that there was power in that sacrifice. Because when we think about the cross, when we picture Jesus on the cross, one of the things that ought to come to mind is that should have been me. That should have been me. That was the death that I deserved because of my sin. It shouldn't have been him. He was the only one it shouldn't have been. He was the innocent one that became guilty or that took on my guilt so that me, the guilty one, truly guilty, could become innocent. And it is a beautiful story. And when it impacts, when that story, when that truth impacts a person, it changes everything. And it results in a thankfulness and a gratitude to God. It's this beautiful picture of God speaking worth over each and every one of us. That you are worthy, that you have value. Because God was willing to give up his infinitely worthy son so that you might live. And this is the beauty and the story of the gospel that both impacts our relationship with God as well as our relationship with those around us. And so we today are going to kind of have a bridge, a transition from the first half of this letter to Ephesians to the second half, which we'll start next week. The second half is the place of application. If we're impacted by the gospel, how do we now then live it out? So it will be the application of those who have been impacted by the gospel. And today is the setup that will prepare us to do that. It's the culmination of the impact that will prepare us to be activated. So it feels to me like a very significant week for us to embrace where Paul is wanting to lead us. And it's right to the place of calling in Jesus. It's right to the place of recognizing that you are called by God. So not only does the gospel communicate value and worth to you, but it also communicates to us that there is an intentionality in the heart of God to speak to you specific calling based on you as a believer and follower of Christ. There's some of this calling that we all share, but then there's also unique calling based on who you are and the gifts that you have and the way that God designed you. And my prayer for us today is that each of us would land in one of these three places. For some of you, it might be that you're discovering for the first time that God has a calling on my life, that there is purpose that he's called me to. And you may not know exactly what that is or what it looks like to walk out in that, but that you are convinced that it's there, that you've got that, and that you would leave this place on a mission to discover that. By asking God, by asking godly people in your life, what do you see in me? How is God using me? That you would be intentional about discovering what that calling is. Second, that some of you today would walk out of here with greater clarity on a specific calling. That you walk out of here more confident than before based on who God has called you to be and what he's called you to be about. And that there would be a greater clarity around what that is. Maybe before it was like you knew God had a calling, but it was rather ambiguous, or you felt a little directionless in it, but that God today would speak more specific direction so that you might walk out of here with clarity and confidence in the calling God has over your life. And then the third category would be those of you who have received your calling, and you could describe that calling, but today God would want to sharpen it. God would want to add to it. God would want to maybe bring some conviction in ways that you haven't been walking out in that calling in this, so that you too would walk out of here with more courage to stand in the place of your calling. And so I really believe that for each and every one of us, God wants us to walk out of here owning a calling in Jesus more than we did before. And the text today is going to lead us through that, lead us through what it looks like to receive that calling, lead us through why it's important to receive it. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, if you've got your scripture journal, I don't know that we passed about 600 of these out. There were a few left. I'm not sure that there's any more left, but we wanted to get these into your hands for this study so that we could really take a deep dive. And so I'm going to be encouraging you at times to circle, underline. You can do that if you so choose in your own Bible. The words will also be on the screen here behind me. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. To start out, I'm going to read through verse 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. So chapter 3 starts with this little phrase, "for this reason." Anytime you see a phrase like that, often you'll see the word "therefore," and you may have heard that you're to say, "What is that therefore?" You're to go back because there's some sort of application. There's some sort of truth that has been proclaimed, and now there is an application to follow. And so we've kind of already covered what was there before. For this reason, looking back to Ephesians 1 and 2, it's the gospel. And it's the effect of the gospel in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others. And now Paul is beginning to take ownership for what the gospel means for his life. So for this reason, because the gospel is true, because it has impact on my life and on my relationships, for this reason, I, Paul. Okay, so we're hearing this ownership, and he's going to begin talking about his own calling, and some of it is his specific calling. Some of it is a calling for all of us, and we'll distinguish between the two. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner. Okay, we're going to start moving faster, but we got to pause on this word for just a moment. Verse 1, we've got this idea of a prisoner. And then actually down in verse 13, we see him kind of refer to it again, what I'm suffering for you. And I felt like we just needed to get all the cards out on the table here as we begin to talk about calling. Because Paul is not talking about some kind of proverbial, you know, figurative prison. He is literally in prison. You can go to 2 Corinthians and you can see a list of the sufferings that he has gone through. And so when we talk about calling, we're not talking about walking with God in a way where everything becomes easy or now you're skipping through life. It's not a cakewalk. It doesn't become a cakewalk, okay? And so I need you to underline prisoner. You need to put a little star by it and an arrow over to your notes and says, calling in God is not a cakewalk. But it is the best walk. It is the best pathway to walk on, because there are not many people that have suffered more than Paul suffered, and yet we find him writing in some of his other letters about his journey with God, and he describes it like everything else before my walk with God, I consider rubbish. I consider it as a loss compared to knowing Christ and walking with him, fellowshipping with him in his sufferings. He talks about this in Philippians 3. The crazy thing about that is Paul's life before walking with Christ in the eyes of the world was pretty posh. I mean, he was like the up-and-coming ruler in his religious circles. He was known as the young zealot that was taking more and more authority. He had a lot of what people around him would want to have. He was the envy of others. He had it in those ways going on. And yet, though he traded that for a calling in Christ that included imprisonment and suffering, what does he say about it? I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't go back to the world. That's rubbish. That is everything else I had is garbage. And we know that he maybe had some things on the outside, but what he describes and what Jesus describes the Pharisees to be, which Paul was one of, was whitewashed tombs. They're whitewashed. It's like you're all pretty on the outside. It looks like you've got it going on, but you're still a tomb. There's still death on the inside. And so that's why Paul is like, man, I had this going on, but I was dead. I was dead. And so that's why I wouldn't trade it for the world. You hear missionary story, great person of faith story over and over again, and with trials that they've walked through. Great difficulties that you hear, and it makes you cringe. You're like, oh. And then it feels like they always close it up with, and I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't change a thing. And you're like, what? I think I would change at least 75% of the story you just told me if I could, you know, like, and they're like, no, because of how I met with God and what he did in me and how I'm different than I was before. And so we're just getting those cards out on the table, okay? The calling in Christ is not a promise to cakewalk, skipping through a flowery field, but it is the call to the very best in life. Let me combine that reality with a reality that'll make you feel a little bit better, One of the emphasis that we find in this section of Ephesians is found in these phrases, and we see it, first of all, in verse 2 here, and I want you to underline these different phrases in your scripture journal if you've got it. First one is stewardship of God's grace that was given to me. All right, so there was a stewardship of God's grace that was given to Paul. And then we read that again in verse 7, underline this, the gift of God's grace, which was given to me. And then he mentions it one more time in verse 8, this grace that was given to me. So one thing that I want us to know without a shadow of a doubt is that when we step into the calling of God, there will be grace to meet us, to cover us. There will be in abundance. There will be more grace. Have you ever had one of those seasons in life that are just trying and troublesome and difficult or busy or whatever it might be, and it's the kind of season that you look back on and you're like, how did I do that? How did I get through that? It was so challenging, or it was so, like, if I had to do that right now, I don't think I could do that again. And you recognize God's grace. God's grace was with me in the moment to walk through that trial, to make it through that endeavor. And that's the grace of God that comes upon us. The book of James talks about grace being extended from God to those who are humble, but God resisting the proud. The way I see that here coming into fruition is that we, as a people who decide to follow God, to surrender to his calling, we humble ourselves. We say, okay, it's not about me. It's not about my story, what I want. God, it's about what you want. And that, there's a humbling there. And in that place, the grace of God descends. But those who say, I want to write my own story. I want to avoid prison. I want to write a different story than that. I want to avoid the sufferings that come with the gospel. It says that God resists that person. It's not because God loves to resist people or loves to stand in the way, but he can't help but resist you because he doesn't want you to go down that path. Now, he's not going to strong arm you. You have the freedom to walk down that path, but you're not going to find the grace of God in walking in that direction. It's a bit of a barometer for us. Okay, if I'm experiencing continual strain and stress and like this kind of mental battle, it's like, okay, is God resisting me in some way? Am I not walking in the grace of God? Is there a way that God would invite me into walking in a calling that he would give to me? And so it's a barometer for us in that way. How do I discover and walk in the calling that God would want to give to me? And so, with the cards on the table, there may be some difficulty, though you will find great joy, and you will certainly find the grace of God that will meet you in every point and place of need along that pathway. But ultimately, it's not about us. It's actually about them. We see this in a few places, and you can circle these. In verse 1, it's on behalf of you, he writes in the letter. This calling, it's on behalf of you. Verse 2, he says it again. This grace was given to me for you. Again in verse 8, this grace was given to me to preach to you, to you Gentiles. And so we see kind of harkens back to the very beginning with the call to Abraham, the father of our faith, which God said, I'm going to bless you that you might be a blessing to others. So God is saying grace so that you can give that grace away to others. The calling of your life is always going to positively impact those around you, those in your life. It's not to stop with you, but it's to be like a river that flows through you, and you'll have great impact and influence in the world around you through the grace of God that has been given to you. And so we receive this grace as we step into the calling that we've received. I want you to look at verse 7 with me. And we're going to do the old double underline here. So try to get a parallel lines there. I know it's tough to do, but of this gospel, I was made a minister. This is really the crux for us. This is the crux of what we're going after. It's going to be the big question that we want to ask ourselves today and allow God to speak into. It says it like this in the NIV version. We're reading out of the ESV. It says, I became a servant of this gospel. I became a servant of this gospel. Now, inherent in Paul describing his life as being a servant of this gospel, what we recognize is that the impact that the gospel has had on his life. Again, remember, whitewashed tomb, trying to live perfectly to, according to the law, an effort that he could not maintain or accomplish, and the gospel setting him free, bringing him from dark to light, bringing him out of hopelessness into hopefulness. And so this gospel has so impacted him that he is now saying, I'm becoming a servant of the, I'm giving my life to this thing. This is what I want to serve. It's that recognition that we're all going to serve somebody. We're all going to serve something. We're all going to give our lives to something. And Paul is saying, this is what I'm giving my life to. And so I want you to write this question out in the notes section. What does it look like for me to become a servant of the gospel? Write it out. And I want you to write it out, and I want you to spend some time trying to figure it out. Ask God, what does that look like? What does it look like for me to become a servant of the gospel? What does that look like? And so first of all, you've got to let the gospel have deep impact on your life, or you're going to have no desire to actually serve Jesus and be a part of his mission. So you got to let the gospel impact you, and then you begin saying, hey, I'm in. This is what I want to be about. And it's an important question here for us, period. It's also an important question because of where we go next in Ephesians. So as I've said, we're about to move into the application section of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be going over that these next 6 weeks. Ephesians 4:1, the beginning of this section, starts with these words: I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, and that begins this activation section. And so, if we are not aware of the calling that we've received in God, it's going to be hard for us to apply the principles that cause us to live a life worthy of it. Life worthy of what? Like, what is my calling? What does that look like? There is a shared calling that we all have as followers of Jesus, and there's a specific calling. And so it is appropriate and it is timely for us to ask the question, what does it look like for me to become a servant of this gospel? What does it look like for me to live that out? What is my calling? And so I want us to spend some time this coming week really wrestling with that question, really asking God to clarify that, really asking God to bolster our faith and give us some boldness and confidence to walk out in that calling so that we can actually bring some application to it over these next 6 weeks, because I believe there's something significant that God wants to do in us and through us. And ultimately, it is through the working of his power. So that verse 7, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. So there's something that God is wanting to release, a way that God is wanting to move through us. This message that we find here in Ephesians 3 has been very, very impactful in my life. This is unique. I remember the very first time that I preached a message out of Ephesians chapter 3. And it's not because it was some great message. I don't remember the words or the whatever about it. But I remember what God was doing in me, in the moment, in real time, as I was sharing it. It was back in 2003. I was actually in Turkey, in Eskişehir, Turkey, in between Istanbul and Ankara. I'd spent the whole summer before that serving over there, living with some missionaries, going out every day and sharing the gospel. It was a very difficult summer in one regard because I was often going out on my own, just trying to pray for people and share the gospel with people, walk around prayer walking. I spent a lot of time on the University of Brawijaya. It was a great little campus, meeting students. There was one little green area I would always go to and just like worship. I felt so alone. I was like, it was like the only grassy spot in the city that I could find. And I was like, okay, at least creation is testifying with me, because I feel like it's me and creation, and that's it. And on this campus, they had a great little sticker. I kept it for a long time. You know, we have like ASU. They had Unibrow, because it was University of Broward, Iowa. So I gave that to a couple of my friends. I gave that to a couple of my friends. You know, it got you a Unibrow sticker. But it was an incredible summer. Actually, for me, I was asking a lot about my own calling. I wanted to spend the summer there overseas asking God, are you calling me to be a missionary? Is this something you have for me? By the end of the summer, I felt like God was calling me back to stateside ministry, but a calling to lead many people to the nations, to experience what God is doing in the nations. And so the very next summer, I was there in Turkey with a short-term group of students. I was a college pastor. There was a couple of other workers there, and there was a couple of other Turkey nationals that were there, and I was preaching out of Ephesians 3. And I was so undone. I just was having this revelation of like, there is a calling that God gives each of us. And there is a grace for you to walk out in that. And it is a working of his power. So you don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to be the best at this. You don't have to have the most charisma. You don't have to have the best strategies. But if you'll give yourself to God, he will empower you through his grace. So it's not a past tense grace that you receive, or that kind of comes on you to make you feel better or what have. It is like an empowering grace that God wants to put upon you to walk out in the power of God, to be a servant of the gospel, to walk out in a calling that is significant. And so today I want to speak that over you. I want to speak it out over you, that the calling that you have is not inconsequential, but that it is significant, and that it is potent and powerful, because it is a working of the Spirit to endow you with grace to accomplish the purposes of Christ in the world. It goes on and says in verse 11 that what God was doing through Paul and his calling, it was according to the eternal purposes in Christ Jesus. And I just want to speak that over your calling, that there are eternal purposes that God has, and he needs you to step into them. And before you give any excuse of why you cannot, or why you don't deserve that, or you don't know me, or my life, or my struggles, Paul, in the very next verse, verse 8, says he says, this grace was given to me by the working of his power. To me, he says, to me, though I am the very least of all these saints. So he basically takes our excuses away from us and says, no, if there's anybody that didn't deserve to be a part of God's calling, a part of his plan, to be a part of a story that's bigger than myself, it was me. I was the chief of sinners. I was out to destroy the church, to defame the name of Jesus. I murdered. I imprisoned. It was me that didn't deserve it. I shouldn't be here, but he called me. But he called me. So you're stuck with me, and I've got his grace, and he's endued me with power to preach the gospel, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And now he starts getting excited, like to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to bring light to everyone who's in darkness. It's his story, right? It's his story on display, so that the church through the may declare the manifold wisdom of God. And not only to the world around them, but he specifically calls out that they might declare the manifold wisdom of God to the heavenly rulers and authorities. And that's kind of a prelude to what we're going to get to in Ephesians chapter 6 here in a few weeks, where it talks about the spiritual warfare and the spiritual armor of God, and walking it out in the power of God. And so we have a calling as the church to unfold the wisdom of God in the world today. And he goes on to describe this eternal purpose that we have in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and confidence. So I need you to underline eternal purpose. I've got eternal purpose. Scribble under it. Make sure you see it when you come back through this, that you have this is about an eternal purpose. And then you need to circle boldness and confidence. It's what God wants to give you in your calling. He wants to release a boldness and confidence through faith in him. He wants to light something inside of you. I hope you feel something being lit. I hope you like, man, let me quit talking. Let me go. I want to start walking out of my calling. Like, I want to get out of here. I want to get beyond these walls. I remember that one of the guys in that room in Turkey was a Turkish national, and his name was Sully. And he was living it out. He was living it out. We found out that a couple months after we left that he had gotten beaten near to the end of his life. Ended up having to flee Eskişehir, ended up planting a church near to Istanbul. But he was living it out for the joy of the Lord and with the sufferings of the Lord. And so it's not a cakewalk, but it is the best walk. It is there's no other journey like it. It's what you were made for. Paul feels very serious about this. He goes on in verse 14 and he begins to pray. He begins to pray for those who would receive a calling. It begins in the same way that verse 1 began. It says, for this reason. Okay, so if you got a little underlining for this reason, pointing back to chapter 2 above, this is got for this reason, pointing back to the section just above, because I believe in your calling. For this reason, for the reason of your calling and the grace of God upon you to be a servant of the gospel, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think Paul feels very strongly about this. I picture just this, I get on my knees, and maybe they always prayed on their knees, but I just feel that unction, like I'm on my knees praying for you. Because the body, the church needs you to walk out in your calling, so I'm on my knees and I am interceding on your behalf. And there's two specific things that he calls out here, that you would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That you would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. This is like a continuous inner revival. In the midst of weariness, in the midst of distraction, in the midst of disillusionment with the things of this world, and that this would cut through and say, yes, I received that prayer. I received that prayer, that there would be inner renewal in my being. The other prayer is a prayer that we would comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and depth of the love of Christ, that we would receive a fresh revelation of his love, which really takes us back to the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is that God so loves you. If we don't have a revelation of his love, we'll never sign up to be a servant of the gospel. But there is a revelation of his love that he wants to pour out upon you, even if you've been singing Jesus Loves Me for the last 50 years, right? Like that there is a fresh revelation and knowledge of his love. And it's not just something that you know about. It's not just something of the family of origin that you grew up in and you're supposed to realize or you're supposed to receive. There is an experiential love that Paul is speaking of. It is not an intellectual love. I mean, hear him. I want you to know the love that's so wide. It's so, so deep. It's so high. Like, it's all encompassing. And it surrounds you and it covers you. I long for you to know that love. The love that I've come to know in Christ. I want you to know it. Because if you don't have this inner revival, this renewal within you, and if you don't have a continual revelation of Christ's love for you, you will never be able to walk in the calling that God has for you. And so he's praying for us to receive from the Father. I want you to stand with me. And as you stand, I want to read the final section of this passage of Scripture over us. We're going to have a time of responding. We're going to have a time of receiving the calling that God would want to place upon us. But I want you to know that that comes not just because of your effort. Are you doing the right thing or saying the right thing in this moment? This comes, this happens, this grace falls on us. We are empowered by His Spirit by the work of God, by Him working through us. And that's what Paul ends with. Like, hey, this may feel overwhelming. This may feel like, man, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to walk out in that. I don't know how to get more boldness or confidence. I don't know what that all looks like. This is it with this. My favorite doxology in all of Scripture, a place of praise, he says this of who God is. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He is able. He is more able than we could even imagine. He is more able than we could ever hope for or expect. There is more power. There is more grace that comes not from our own effort, but out of God's desire to pour it out on us. To pour it out on the one who says, God, I want to know my calling. God, I want to know who you are. And he is eager to pour that out on us. He is eager to not just meet our needs, but to exceed them. He is eager to pour out on his church, this designated vessel for glorifying God in all generations, for seeing the manifold wisdom of God made known today. And so we have the invitation to step into that. What does it look like for you to be a servant of this gospel? It's a question I want you to wrestle with all week. And I want you to bring something back. It doesn't have to be a fully formulated answer, but I want you to bring something back next week. What might that look like for me? I don't care what age you are. If you're young in this room and you're like, I don't have to figure that out yet. No, there's something God has for you right now. Or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for 50, 60 years. You're like, I kind of got that figured out. What is the new thing? What is the fresh thing that God wants to speak to you today about your calling in this season and stage of life? And I want to do something today in the way of prayer because I just feel like this prayer is significant. I've been feeling that all week. I didn't know exactly what to do with it. But if this is the thing that Paul wanted to pray, I want us to receive that prayer. And so I'm going to ask you to do something today. If there's anybody in the room today that really felt something resonating in them, something that they felt compelled by in their spirit, that they needed more of the love of God, needed a fresh revelation of his love, needed to know that they are loved, that God loves them and he sees them, I want you to come and I want you to stand over here. So if that's you, just come on, begin making your way, and I want you to stand over here because we are gonna pray over you that you would receive more of the love of God. And I'm 100% sure that God is going to reveal something to you about his love. I feel like that's what he wants to do. That is his heart for us. So if there's anybody that need a greater revelation of the love of God, I want you to begin coming over here. And you can keep trickling down here as the song begins. And the second prayer is the prayer of an inner renewal. If there's something of an inner renewal, you're feeling weary, you're feeling burdened, you're feeling distracted, feeling like your priorities are all over the place, and you just need an inner renewal by the work of the Holy Spirit, just like a reviving of your spirit, I want you to come over here. And we're going to believe for you to have an inner renewal personally in God, that God wants to revive something in you. And we're going to have our ministry team, who's often up here in the front to just pray and receive over people, we're going to have them begin just walking around and praying over those that are responding. And I believe there's something that God wants to pour out. So it's not too late as they begin leading us. I want to give you the opportunity just to continue to respond. Some of you just need to sit there, and maybe you just need to wrestle with the calling that God has received. Some of us just need to sit there and worship, whatever we need to do.